Welcome back to the PPP, the Purple Perspective Podcast. We're back at you with another weekly banger. What do you call a fake noodle? An imposter.
Oh my god.
That was such a knee slapper.
It's me, your host, Avery Nelson.
Doing by your co-host, Savannah.
And any other co-host, I'm sure.
We're going to be bringing you weekly podcast about the book, The Color Purple by Alice Walker. We're going to be giving you our deep perspectives, and we're going to be diving deep into the themes and all the symbolism that is in this book.
So, here's a quick summary. So, our main character name is Sally, right? And so, she has her sister, and then mind you, she's a 14-year-old girl who's being raped by her stepdad or her father. So Sally and her sister grew up with their father for much of their life because their mom has passed away since then. So the book starts out with the book starts out by saying that she's getting raped by her father, which is disgusting to think about.
In the book, The Color Purple, it starts off very traumatic. We have Sally, the main character, 14 years old, being raped by her father. We have Celie's younger sister seeing all that is happening to her sister and how they only really have each other. And since the mom passed away, they really don't have like a mother figure. So they look to the dad, but the dad is continuously abusing them.
So far, like in this book, our main character named Celie, which is a 14-year-old girl living with her dad and her sister named Penny. And so from a very young age, her mother died. So she had no one to look out for. Like she never learned how to do chores properly. She never knew how to get dressed and like that. So she had to like learn it on her own while also dealing with her father who was abusing her all the time. And then also sexually harassing her. What a place she go. What a point that he got her pregnant twice, and the first time she had miscarriage, and the second time she had a kid.
And we also see that in the book, that Nettie and Celie's father tries to sell Celie to this unknown man in the book, which every time he's brought up, it just says Mr. He wants the younger sister, Nettie, but the father thinks that Celie would be a better wife to him because Nettie Celie, like she is older, she knows how to do more stuff, and Nettie is the younger sister.
And in the book, it's kind of written as like they're letters to God, and it switches up eventually to letters to her sister, but for now, it's just letters of her writing to God about, you know, like what's going on in her life and what are everyday things.
Yeah, and also in the book, we also see that later in the book, Celie finds a love interest, Suge Avery, and they become really, really close fast. Do y'all remember how, how she's brought up in the book?
It was a photo. I think someone had a photo. I want to say, it was her new mom, I'm pretty sure. I think it was her new mom. She had the photo, and then, Celie asked to keep the photo. And then she said that she was, like, dreaming about her and stuff, and I think that's kind of how that all started. So going back to what Mishir said, like, when describing the book, she did have two kids, and the one passed away after, like, a few months, and then the second one was sold, like, pretty quickly by the dad. And at first I thought it was, like, the boyfriend's kids, but then she says, on page 2, it says, she asked me about the first one, whose is it? I say God's, I don't know no other man or what else to say. It kind of just shows her mom was dying, and, like, when her mom was dying, she was kind of asking about, like, who was the father of the kids and whatever, and she didn't tell her mom about the dad, which is kind of leading to, like, you know, her mom didn't know what was happening, or maybe she did, but she just didn't really, like, say anything. But I feel like if her mom knew it was happening, she would have said it was the dad. But yeah, I just feel like it was crazy to be pregnant by your dad, not gonna lie.
Which is very, like which sucks, because, like, one, she's a child.
Yeah.
Being raped by a middle-aged man, and biological man with his words, but also the fact that he's very controlling as well. Like, if you do anything wrong, and just looking at something else, he'll beat you. And, like, on page 3, it says, "Dear God," yeah. But it also shows, like, he's a control freak, and so much he says, because on page 5, it says, "Dear God, he beat me today because he said I was a boy." Okay, so it's, like, how controlling he is, and it, like, but it's, like, he's also a bit delusional as well. He thinks that, like, things, when things doesn't look good, like, he would take it out on her, like, when in reality, like, she didn't do anything wrong. Like, it shows, like, it mostly shows, like, how much, like, her head tied up, and she can't do nothing about it at all.
Okay, plus I think it's kind of crazy how, like, you know, he wants the younger sister, Neri, but, like, he's beaten Sally if she winks at a boy, and that's quote-unquote, because she's like, she didn't even wink at him. But I just think it's kind of crazy that you want your daughter, the younger one, because she looks better and all this, but yet you're still punishing the older one because she's doing things that you don't like. Like, that's just crazy to me.
But then also, I feel like, as, like, the oldest child, like, you always get the most amount of, like, torture. Because...
True. But, I don't know, that...
Like...
For your dad to beat you because you, supposedly winked at a boy, that don't seem right.
It really don't seem right.
Yeah.
I also think, like, there's something, like, mentally, like, wrong with him.
Yeah.
Because...
Obviously.
Because on page 1, he said, just say you're going to do what your mommy wouldn't. And it's basically, like, he's looking at her, like, just kind of, like, I don't know, like, symbol of, like, her mom, in a sense. And it's kind of, like, he's, like, yeah, you're gonna do this. You're going to please me. You're going to do all this stuff. I'm going to be able to hit on you whenever I want to take my anger out on you. And it's just kind of, like, really crazy. And I feel like her way of, like, turning every page off of, like, Dear God is, like, kind of her way of, like, coping with everything and trying to, like, say, like, I'm going through this, but, like, Christians are, like, they believe in God, like, if they go to God with their problems, like, health or, like, resolves. So it's kind of like she's just trying to, like, cope with everything and that's going on with her life because it's very, like, really traumatic.
Yeah, I agree. It's also, she doesn't really have anyone to talk to. Like, her real mom's dead. Her sister, I don't know, they're obviously, like, close, but, like, you know, the sister's still watching everything that's happening to Sally, and it's just, she's not really able to talk to her as much. And then they eventually get separated, so she still can't talk to her sister. She's obviously not going to talk to her dad about anything. She doesn't really have anyone else in her life other than that, so I just don't think she really has anyone to talk to, which is why she turns to God.
Like, really traumatic.
Yeah, I agree. It's also, she doesn't really have anyone to talk to. Like, her real mom's dead. Her sister, I don't know, they're obviously, like, close, but, like, you know, the sister's still watching everything that's happening to Sally, and it's just, she's not really able to talk to her as much. And then they eventually get separated, so she still can't talk to her sister. She's obviously not going to talk to her dad about anything. And she doesn't really have anyone else in her life other than that. So I just don't think she really has anyone to talk to, which is why she turns to God. And...
Yeah, and going back to, like, the loneliness and isolation, it's, like, increased. Because on page 17, she says, when her sister is sold, she says she's going to hate to leave me as well. And, like, even she did have that one person in her life, her sister, that she could go to and talk to. But now she doesn't really have anybody. So, like, her, like, writing her journal is going to be, like, more, like her outlet. So she's only going to be able to, like, write her journal because she can't talk to her dad. Her dad is like abusing her and she doesn't really have anybody else. And also Suge Avery is gonna help her a lot because she has somebody that she can talk to again, and I feel like that's important.
Let's get some hot take on this book. Sally does have a choice of to be like to leave and marry the mistress. Like the mistress. Right? But then because she has the option to do that, but still she chooses to stay back and take all the abuse and still be the victim. And then victim blaming her. Sally does have a choice of leaving because her father gave her the choice of leaving and marrying this mistress guy. But again, she chose to stay back and take all the beatings, still take all the harassment. So and therefore like she's not really the victim here at all. Like she's like she doesn't play herself at this point.
Are you okay? Why would you say that? Victim blaming at its finest, honestly. Cause what?
Mr. So you're gonna say an abuse, somebody that's getting abused,
no.
they're victim blaming.
No.
When you don't know how abuse feels. When you're getting abused, you go to a very vulnerable place.
Yeah, again.
Imagine your dad was was raping you, and you're not the victim because you could leave. That's no. How you think.
No.
Like, or is it because she's a woman, Michelle?
It's not that she's a woman.
I think it's because you're saying no. She's so
you're
a victim
blaming
her
because she's a woman?
No. She has an option. No. She has the option to leave him, but she still chooses to stay back because why will she stay back? Like that's why that's confusing. But also like yes. Like it is really messed up how she's being treated by her father. But yeah, like, if she chooses to leave, she'd have a better life.
Also, do you realize what time period this is?
I do realize.
Yeah,
that.
Like it's not.
It's not like ordinary for like girls to leave their fathers at a young age. Like she's 14.
What, actually, even if they're raping them, I wouldn't say it's normal, but like it was. Probably
I was gonna say like custom, but like I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's just. I can't believe you would just blame her though. Mm-hmm. Like it's not her fault at all. She grew up with that, and it's just like. How you expect her to just leave?
Yeah, but also like she has not any self-defense either. Like she could have stopped her father because of that. Like she said, like she's big. She has experienced so much trauma with the point that like, it doesn't affect her anymore, right? So why can't she just use that against her father and leave him?
Because that's not how it worked back then. Like you can't just leave. And even if she did leave and go marry, like you said, the Mr. Unknown or whatever,
yeah.
She's gonna, it's the same thing.
Yeah, he probably would have beat on her too.
Yeah, he's literally, dad would sell her to him in order for him to like rape her, abuse her, beat her, use her. Like this, you don't.
Take care of his kids.
Yeah, why wouldn't you stay with your sister and deal with all that than go to somebody who's like a stranger?
On that note, I think we're gonna wrap it up. Anyways, we'll see you next week for some more of Mashura's hot takes.